Well, life is full of choices. From the moment you get up in the morning to the moment you go to bed at night, you are faced with an endless barrage of decisions you have to make. Now, I want you to understand that a lot of these decisions you have to make are not very significant. They're not all that important. They won't have great consequences. Now, whether or not you chose to have oatmeal or grits for breakfast this morning is really not that significant a choice. Whether you chose to wear a heavy sweater or a light coat in this cool weather, that's really not that important. Whether you chose to keep the chia pet you were given for Christmas or you chose to throw that thing away really is not that significant a decision. Some choices really don't matter that much. But you need to understand, on the other hand, there are some choices that have heavy consequences. There are some choices that do matter a great deal because when you make those choices, they affect your life. I'm not sure who said it, but they said it well when they said, the choices we make later make us. We make them, then they make us. And that's true. You are today who you are, where you are, and what you are, largely because of the choices that you have made in the past. Now, if you've made some good choices, you feel good about yourself. But if you've made some bad choices, you probably feel very bad about yourself. Your choices are very, very important. But there are some choices that are more crucial than others. For example, the choice of who you will marry, or where you will go to school, or what kind of profession you will have. They're very critical choices, very important. But I want you to know that the most important choice you will ever make, the most critical choice of your life, has nothing to do with who you're going to marry, has nothing to do with the job you're going to perform, or where you're going to live, or where you're going to go to school. The most critical choice you will ever make is a spiritual choice, and it's simply this. Is your life going to count for God or not? Are you going to be on His side or not on His side? Are you going to be someone who's going to have a spiritual focus of life, or will you be someone whose life is focused in other directions? In other words, your great choice in life is what are you going to do about God, and what are you going to do in your life to live for Him? And that's the choice we want to talk about this morning. Take your Bible very quickly, if you will, and I want you to open them up to the book of Joshua, to Joshua chapter 24. And you're going to like what I say next, to the very last chapter in the book of Joshua. Now, for some of you, that probably sounds very good, because we've been in Joshua for a long, long time. So I want you to look in Joshua chapter 24. In a moment, we'll begin reading with verse 14. We're going to talk about the most critical choice that any of us ever have to make. Now, I said a moment ago that we've been in Joshua a long time, and we have. For 4 months now, we've been studying through the book of Joshua, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and even some on Wednesday night, just taking passage by passage through the book of Joshua. And I want you to understand that I am not apologizing for the length of this series. I want you to know that Joshua has been a long, long series, but this is a great, great book. I'm really kind of glad that we've had this time together. In fact, the truth is, I'm a little bit reluctant to say goodbye to the book of Joshua. I've kind of thought about going back through and picking up verses here and there that maybe we haven't looked at before. You know, Joshua, by this time, has become, for me at least, a very good friend. And he has taught me many wonderful things. And I hate to say goodbye to him, but I guess we better. Your attention span is about to be gone, so I guess we better get on with something else other than the book of Joshua. You know, the Bible says everything is a season, a time for every purpose unto heaven. There's a time to begin a Bible study, and there's a time to end. Have you ever read that verse? Well, I wrote that down in my book. I find that in the book of Joshua. Well, we're going to bring it to a close beginning today, Joshua 24, the final chapter. Now, let me explain to you what's going on. In Joshua, the book of Joshua, you'll recall, for those who've been with us, the theme is claiming all that God has for you. In fact, we've entitled this series, Claiming What's Rightfully Yours. By way of review, for those who've been here, let me just remind you, the book of Joshua is the Old Testament account of God's people moving out of the wilderness, across the Jordan, and into the Promised Land. Remember, for 40 years, they'd roamed around in the wilderness. They'd wandered in circles like a cat chasing its tail, getting nowhere. And then one day, Joshua comes on the scene. He says, guys, this is stupid. We're going around in circles. We ought to do better than this. If we cross the Jordan, there's plenty of good land over there. And God says it's ours. He's already promised it. Let's claim what's rightfully ours. Now, the whole book of Joshua is that story. From chapter 1, where they begin with making preparation to cross the Jordan, all the way through the end of chapter 24, where Joshua dies. Now, remember I said that's why we need to study this book. It teaches you how to claim what God has for you. In the Old Testament, God promised an abundant land to Israel. In our life, God has promised an abundant life. But you need to understand, the abundant life God promises isn't automatic. You need to know that you can have eternal life and not have abundant life. That you can be saved and not very satisfied with your salvation. Now, it's there for the claiming, but you got to claim it. You got to reach out and claim what God has for you, and Joshua has been showing us how. Now we come to the last chapter, and Joshua leaves us with a challenge. In fact, he leaves us with a great choice that we need to make. Now let me show you the choice. Take your Bible. Let's begin reading with verse 14. The Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord." Now listen. "And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose," here it is, "choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell." Now watch. "But as for me and as for my house, we will serve the Lord." Now there's the choice. There's the decision. Now let me explain to you what's going on. Let me give you the background of this passage of Scripture. If you'll go back and study Joshua 24, you'll notice that there are two distinct divisions of this chapter. Now listen carefully. I'm going to give you a little biblical background. In the first 13 verses of Joshua 24, Joshua is recounting the blessings of God on those who have believed in Him in the past. Understand? Let me say it one more time. In verses 1 through 13, Joshua is recounting God's blessing on those who have believed in Him in the past. But then if you go down and read beginning with verse 19, the emphasis changes. Beginning with verse 19, Joshua is no longer talking about the good hand on those that believed in the past, but he begins to talk about God's heavy hand on those who will not believe in the future. In the first 13 verses, he recounts the blessing of those who've chosen to believe in a time gone by. But beginning with verse 19, he begins talking about a judgment of God against those who in the future will refuse to believe. Now, you got those two divisions? One, the blessing of God. The other, the cursing of God. Now, here's how it all plays together. Right in the middle, in verse 15, Joshua gives you a choice. He says, God has blessed those in the past who have believed, and God will curse those in the future who don't. Now, choose this day where you stand. Make up your mind where you are. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Who will you live for? Who will your life count for? Are you on God's side or not on God's side? Are you going to believe and put your whole heart into that belief or not? Make up your mind one way or the other. Choose this day whom you will serve. By the way, this is not the only time in the Bible this appears. In fact, as you go on and read through the Scripture in the Old Testament, you'll notice on a number of occasions this same choice is given. On one occasion, for example, Moses came down off the mountaintop after having received the commandments from God. And he looked out at all the people and he said, "Who will be on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." On yet another occasion, Elijah stood before the people of God. And Elijah made this statement. He said, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If God be God, then serve Him. If Baal be God, then serve him. But make up your mind." But the clearest point in all the Bible where this decision is given, this choice is given, is right here in Joshua 24. Excuse me. In Joshua 24, Joshua says, "Now make up your mind. What are you going to do? Are you on God's side? Are you not on God's side?" Now very quickly this morning, let me tell you how we're going to handle this. Very quickly, I want to take you through this choice, and I want you to learn some things about the nature of this decision that God is asking you to make, that Joshua asked them to make, and that God asked all of us to make. Now, I want to warn you up front that the message this morning is extraordinarily simple. I'm not going to embellish it very much, and we're certainly not going to get too deep into background and the context. It's going to be very straightforward, and it's going to be very, very simple. But it's a very, very important passage of Scripture, and I want you to listen carefully to it. Are you ready? Here we go. Three or four things I want you to notice about this choice. The first one is the most obvious. The first thing I want you to note about the choice God's asking you to make is that this is a choice that you must make personally. It's a choice that no one can make for you. Go back to the Scripture for a moment and notice what Joshua said. Joshua says in verse 15, "If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves." Excuse me. "Choose for yourself this day." Now, you understand what he's getting at here? Joshua is saying no one can make this choice for you. It is a choice that you must make personally. Now, I know when I read this, some of you are going to say, "Well, Pastor, that is so obvious, it really doesn't bear repeating. Everybody knows that you've got to make your own choices in life." Well, let me tell you why I state this. Every once in a while, you come across folks who have the idea that if they have been around others who've made the choice, that they themselves don't have to. Let me explain the context of this particular issue. If you'll go back and study, remember verses 1 through 13, Joshua is speaking about how God had blessed people in the past who had made that choice. But now Joshua is speaking to a new generation. Now listen. Joshua is 110 years old at the moment he's making this statement. He is the oldest of the oldest generation. And he's looking out at a younger generation, and in essence what he's saying is this. He's saying, guys, we've made up our mind. In my day, we made our choices. Now, this is your time to choose. Let me put it to you as simply as I know how. Ladies and gentlemen, there comes a time in every person's life where they've got to decide for themselves if their life's going to count for God or not. Nobody can do it for you. There comes a point in time in every generation where that generation has to make up its mind whether it's going to follow God or not follow God. There comes a time in the life of every individual when they have to put aside everybody else's decisions and say, you know, I've decided today I'm going to follow the Lord. There comes a time in everyone's life when you've got to choose. See, it doesn't make any difference what those before you have chosen. It doesn't make any difference if your parents or your grandparents have made the choice and followed it well. Sooner or later, you've got to make that choice yourself. Listen, if you have a godly background, a godly family, thank the Lord for it. If your daddy was a deacon and your granddaddy was a Baptist preacher, or you know, if your great-granddaddy was a director of missions or something like that, great. Thank God for that heritage. That's a wonderful heritage. But I want you to understand, if your daddy and your granddaddy and your great-granddaddy have all made that choice, and your mom made that choice, and everybody in your family, generation after generation, made that choice, it really doesn't affect you. It doesn't mean you've made it. Sooner or later, you've got to. And I want you to understand, it makes no difference if those around you have made the choice. Every once in a while, I come across a man who seems to have the idea that if he's married to a godly woman, if she is a Christian and she's serving the Lord, that's all he needs in his life. How many have heard a man make a statement something like this? You know, well, the little woman, she takes care of the religion in our house. Well, my wife, she sure is faithful. I'm just a good old boy, but my wife's a good woman. Well, Bubba, you better be very careful. That woman's going to go to heaven, and you're going to go to hell if you're not very careful. You need to understand, as godly as she might be, that doesn't settle the issue for you. And ladies, if your husband's a godly man, doesn't settle the issue for you either. Sooner or later, everyone has to choose. Nobody can make up your mind for you. You've got to make your own choices. Now, Joshua, if he could have, would have, but he couldn't. In fact, if you go back and read this, Joshua, excuse me, you'll recall Joshua is the commander of the army, but even though he's the commander of the army, he can't order the people to serve the Lord. He is the leader of the nation, but he can't legislate laws to make them follow God. Everybody has to choose. By the way, can I take a little sidetrack with you for just a moment? Before I get off from this, let me point something out to you about Joshua that I really like. Joshua couldn't decide for these people, but Joshua didn't mind telling these people what they ought to decide. Did y'all hear this? Let me say that one more time. Joshua couldn't decide for the people, but he didn't mind telling the people what they ought to decide. Joshua wasn't one of these people that will say, you know, you guys make up your own mind, and whatever you decide, that's okay by me. You gotta make up your own mind about God and about Christ, and, you know, anything you come up with, that's okay. You know, I'm for you, I'm behind you 100%, just make up your own mind. That wasn't the way Joshua was. Joshua said, you must make up your own mind, and now let me tell you what you ought to choose. He said, you've got to choose for yourself. He said, but as for me, if it were me, I tell you what I'd choose the Lord. I like that about Joshua, don't you? When I was in seminary, I was schooled in counseling, in a theory of counseling referred to as Rogerian counseling. Y'all know what that is? Now, we've got some psychologists and counselors in our church, and you guys all know what Rogerian counseling is, but play ignorant, which won't be too hard, but play ignorant, if you will, as if you don't know what it is. Let me give you an oversimplified definition of Rogerian counseling. Rogerian counseling comes from the theory of a man named Carl Rogers. Dr. Rogers basically said that when you counsel someone, you're not to direct, you're to reflect. Now, this is an oversimplification, I know, but in essence what he said was when someone comes to you for help, you're not to put your bias or your opinion off on them as to what they're supposed to do. You're just simply to listen to them and reflect the problem back and let them make up their own mind. It'd be sort of like if you come to me and say, you know, I'm bored in my marriage, and I've decided to have an affair with a younger woman. And I would say to you, oh, things aren't good at home. I just reflect that back, and I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't give you an opinion about it. Or you come to me and say, you know, I hate my mother-in-law, and I thought about hiring a hitman to knock her off. And I would say to you, oh, you're having problems with your wife's dear mother. And I just simply reflect that back and never infect you with my opinion or my bias. I'd never direct you. And guys, I want to tell you something about that. Joshua was not a good Rogerian counselor. Neither am I. And some of you who've been to counsel with me, you know that. Joshua's philosophy was, if you know the truth, for God's sake, tell it. If you've got an answer, for God's sake and the kingdom's sake, give it. If you know the way, show it. Joshua said, listen, you've got to make up your own mind, but let me tell you, if it were me, this is what I choose. And I think there's something to that. But now let's get back on track. I've ranted for a few moments. The point is that Joshua couldn't choose for them, and I can't choose for you. There comes a point in everybody's life where they've got to make up their own mind. There comes a time when you've got to choose. By the way, folks don't like that. Sometimes people say, you know, I don't like coming to this church because you put us on the spot and you say we've got to make our own personal choices, and I don't like that. Guys, I want to tell you, as you read through the New Testament, you're going to discover that Christ himself put people on the spot and made them choose. On one occasion, Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he asked the question, whom do men say that I am? And they waxed on eloquently for a while. They said, well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're a prophet. They went on and on and on. And then Jesus looked squarely at them and said, who do you say that I am? He was saying, you make up your own mind. Where do you stand on this issue? Now, the first thing I want to say to you is this. This choice of your life, where it's going and how it's going to be played out for God or against God's, your choice. You can't make it for anyone else and no one else can make it for you. Now, that's the obvious, but I wanted to state it. Now, let me go on and show you something that's not as obvious. The second thing I want you to note about this choice is this. Not only is it a choice that must be made personally, but it's a choice that should be made carefully. Now listen carefully, because I'm going to show you something in the Scripture that you might not have seen a moment ago. You need to understand something before I read this to you. This passage of Scripture from Joshua is one of the most emotional and passionate appeals in all the Bible. Joshua's 110 years old. He's about to die. He knows he's about to die. He's gathered the people together in a place called Shechem. These are among his last words to the people. And in a very emotional appeal, Joshua looks at the crowd and he says, now guys, you got to make up your mind. Choose today whom you will serve. Now, the thing I want you to understand is that even though this was an emotional, passionate appeal, Joshua did not want them to give an emotional response. In fact, what Joshua wanted from these people was a very deliberate, very careful, very thought-out response to God. And he said, well, how do you know that? All right, I'm going to show you something. Have you got your Bible open? Did you close them already? All right, open them back. I want you to hold them up so I can see them. I'm going to make sure you're reading. Hold it whichever distance it needs to be. Now, I'm going to read something to you that you may not have seen before, and if you don't follow this, you're going to get lost. So watch what happens next. Now remember, are you with me? Remember what happens. 1 through 13, he recounts God's blessings. And 14 and 15, he says, now make up your mind, you're going to follow God or not. All right, now watch. Here we go. Read with me, beginning with verse 16. And so the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way that we went among all the people through whom we passed. Now watch. And the Lord drove out from before us and all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. Now here it is. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Now don't close your Bible, because I'm going to start reading again in just a minute. Do you understand what they've just said? Do you understand what's just happened? Joshua has just told these people to make up their mind, and what did they do? They made up their mind. He said, choose for the Lord, and what did they choose? Did they choose right or did they choose wrong? That's not a trick question. They chose right, didn't they? He said, choose for the Lord. They said, okay, we choose for the Lord. Great. Now I want to ask you this. Don't you think that after they made the right choice, that should have excited Joshua? Don't you think that Joshua should have jumped up and down and said, praise the Lord, you guys have made the right choice. You've done the right thing. Hallelujah, praise God, let's go. But watch what happens next, because that's not at all how Joshua responds. Take your Bible, look in verse 19. Now remember, he said, choose for the Lord. And they said, okay, we choose for the Lord. And then in verse 19, Joshua says to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God, and he's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he's done you good. Now, do you understand what's just happened? He says, make up your mind. They made up their mind. He said, choose the Lord. They chose the Lord. And as soon as they chose the Lord, Joshua says, you can't serve God. In fact, God's going to punish you for your sins. Let me give you a paraphrase. Joshua said, choose the Lord. They chose the Lord. And then Joshua says, you don't mean business. You're not sincere with that. You're not telling the truth. Your heart isn't in this. And I want you to know, God's going to get you for lying to him. You know what that would be like? That would be like if this morning, after this message, I give a very impassioned appeal, and you walk down and take me by the hand and say, Pastor, I've decided today to follow Christ. And I were to look at you and say, you liar. You hypocrite. You don't mean business. You're not going to follow God. That would be like you walking forward and taking me by the hand and said, I've decided to follow Jesus. And I look at you and say, you aren't telling me the truth at all. And I want you to know, because you walked down this aisle and told me you were going to follow God and you didn't mean it, God's going to get you for that. By the way, for those of you who are planning on responding this morning, I want you to understand that I'm not going to say that. Well, I suppose that depends on who responds, doesn't it? Okay. Now let me ask you this question. Why in the world would Joshua respond like this? Let me tell you why. Because Joshua was very concerned that these people had made a decision, but they hadn't counted the cost of that choice. See, Joshua was concerned that these people hadn't thought through this. They were making a decision, but they weren't very cautious and careful about it. They hadn't stopped to think about what that decision would mean. You have to understand something. Ladies and gentlemen, when you make a choice for God, that choice has a consequence. That choice has a cost. In fact, when you choose for God, it can cost you a lot of other things in your life. Hope you understand what I mean by this. But there are certain choices in life that are mutually exclusive. For example, I cannot choose to be a law-abiding citizen and choose to be a criminal at the same time. Those two things are mutually exclusive. I can't choose to be a married man and be a single man at the same time. Those things are mutually exclusive. What Joshua wanted the people to understand is this: you can't choose to serve God and yet choose to hold on to everything else out here in the world at the same time. Those things are mutually exclusive. Here's how I know that's what Joshua had in mind. Go back to the passage. Look in verse 22. Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord for yourself to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart toward the Lord. Do you understand what he just said? Joshua said, make up your mind. He said, but when you make up your mind, if you choose the Lord, you're going to have to put out of your life all these foreign gods. Now evidently what had happened was this. Evidently some of the people among the Israelites had been carrying around with them the idols, the foreign gods, the golden images from the pagans, from the Canaanites, even perhaps some from Egypt. And the idea was this. There were some who were saying, yeah, we want to follow God, but we want to sort of keep our hand in over here as well. See, pagan gods have a lot to offer. They can be a lot of fun. In the pagan world, there were gods to drunkenness and gods to fertility and gods to sensuality. There were all kinds of gods to all kinds of lust. And they were saying, let's follow Jehovah God, but, you know, I'm not sure I want to totally give up all of these. And then Joshua said, now let me tell you something. If you make this choice, it's mutually exclusive. You cannot choose God and choose the world. If you make this choice, there are things you're going to have to give up. Let me tell you my grave concern. Oftentimes we have people who make decisions, quote-unquote decisions, who've never thought through those decisions. Jesus said you ought to count the cost. Jesus said no man builds a building unless he first counts the cost. No man goes to war except he first consider the risk. Jesus said no man puts his hand to the plow and then looks back. It's all or nothing. Listen, I want you to make decisions. I want you to choose and choose right. But I want you to count the cost. I want you to understand that there's more to this choice than simply walking down the aisle, taking a pastor by the hand, and saying, yeah, I want to go to heaven. I want all the good stuff you Christians talk about. When you choose, you count the cost. I want to quickly give you a third thing about this choice. It's a choice you must make personally, you should make carefully. The third thing I want you to notice about this choice is that this is a choice that you probably will need to make repeatedly. Now, what I'm saying will sound confusing to some and hard to understand to others. But ladies and gentlemen, this choice you make to live for the Lord is not something you make one time. It's something you make all the time. Now, that may sound confusing, especially from the Baptist perspective of once saved, always saved. But you need to understand, when you choose for God, there's a sense in which it's a choice you make over and over. Let me explain something to you. In Joshua 24, they're being asked to make this choice, but it's not the first time they've been asked this. In fact, if you go back and read, there are at least four other occasions in the book of Joshua. Are you listening? At least four other occasions in the book of Joshua where they're put to the test and asked to make the same kind of choice. And this won't be the last time they're asked to make the choice. As you continue to read in the Old Testament, you're going to discover that almost every Old Testament figure calls God's people back to that same choice. David called the people of God back to that choice. Ezra called the people of God back to their choice. Nehemiah called the people of God back to their choice. Jeremiah spent his entire life calling God's people back to their original choice. All the way to the end of the Old Testament and the book of Malachi, the last prophet in the Bible, Malachi, writes an entire book about God's people needing to come back to God again, taking God seriously. Now, this is a little bit confusing. So, Pastor, I thought that we Baptists believe that once you're saved, you're always saved, and once you've made your decision, that's it. Well, there's a dimension of that which is true. I want you to know, when you accepted Christ as Lord and received Him in your life, that became a permanent issue. The Holy Spirit entered your heart, and that is forever, and He will never leave you. But there's another sense in which this is a choice that you've got to make repeatedly, and if you don't make it repeatedly, you'll lose the fervor and the fire of that original choice. Does that make any sense at all? Well, look at me and let me know. Does that make any sense at all? It's a choice that you make once, but if you don't repeat that choice, you'll lose the original fire and fervor of that choice. You'll rest on your original commitment and never renew it. Some of you are familiar with Leighton Ford. Leighton Ford was an associate evangelist with Billy Graham for many years. Leighton Ford tells a story about a very wealthy man who at one time had been very poor, and God blessed him. He became a captain of industry. This man was asked to come to a church and give his testimony of how God had blessed his stewardship. He stood up in front of the church and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, there was a time in my life when I had nothing. So I was just broke. I didn't own a car, didn't own a house." He said, "All I had to my name was $2. That's it." He said, "One day I went into the church, and the pastor that day was preaching on missions. And he said, after the service, they took a missions offering and passed the plate. And he said, I prayed, bowed my head and I prayed. I said, God, what would you have me to do? And he said, God spoke to my heart and said, give it all. Give me everything you've got." And so the man said, he reached down in his pocket and he pulled out his only $2. And he said, "I put my whole life savings in that account, in that plate." He said, "I gave God everything." And then he looked at the congregation. He said, "And the rest is history." As if to imply, see what God's done for me because I gave Him my all? And he sat down amidst a stunned congregation, total silence, everyone awed at a man who would give it all to God. Until one little old lady sitting right behind him in the pew leaned forward and whispered in a stage whisper for everyone to hear, "I dare you to do it again." You ever give your life to the Lord? "I dare you to do it again." There's a sense in which if you don't repeat it, you'll lose the original fire of it. Do you know who has the most difficult time in this church keeping their spiritual life really burning? Probably me. That sounds unusual because, you know, I deal with spiritual stuff all the time. I teach the Bible. I baptize the living and bury the dead and do all this spiritual stuff. I get to sing all the choruses with you guys every Sunday. I get to pray with a choir on Sunday mornings. I'm a spiritual kind of guy. You know, sometimes, though, this gets to be a real rut. I asked my wife after the first service if it was okay to say this was a real rut. She said, probably not. But I got to tell you, there are times when this gets to be a real rut. There are times when this basically, I don't know if I should say this or not, but there are times when I basically stand up here and put it on automatic pilot. Have you ever heard me preach on automatic pilot? Nod your head yes. You probably knew it, but you might not have known it. I was on automatic pilot. No telling what I was thinking about. Every once in a while, I have to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I chose once, but the choice I once made, I make again. I want my life to mean something. I want to choose for you. Let me ask you a question. Did you choose for God years ago? That's good. Did you choose Him 5 years ago? That's good. 10? 20? That's good. Did you choose for God 50 years ago? That's good. Let me ask you this, though. When you got up this morning, did you make that same choice? Did you get up today and say, Lord, I choose to follow You today. I choose today to have a life that counts for You. See, there's a sense in which this is a choice that you must make repeatedly. Well, I'm going to give you one more thing about this choice, and then we'll be through. Go back to Joshua 24. It's a choice you must make personally. It's a choice that you ought to be making repeatedly, carefully. But guys, I want to tell you, if it's a choice you've never made, it's a choice that you ought to make immediately. I want you to notice how Joshua phrases this. Verse 15 says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourself this day. Joshua doesn't say, now, why don't you start thinking about how you want to deal with your spiritual life? He says, right now, make up your mind. I need to explain something to you. You see, when Joshua is speaking to the children of Israel, there are those who are there who had already made their choice for God and simply needed to renew that choice. But you've got to keep in mind that when Joshua is speaking to the children of Israel, he's also speaking to a lot of people from a younger generation. Are you listening? A lot of people from a younger generation who never made a choice. Everybody else had made their choices. Their fathers and grandfathers made their choices. But Joshua is speaking to a lot of folks who never really made up their mind. For the first time, so am I. Every Sunday morning, in two worship services, there are two types of people who come. Our service this morning is almost standing room only, and our first service crowd was almost as big. There are a lot of folks who listen by radio and later will listen by tape. And there are two different categories of people who will listen. The first group of people who are sitting here this morning and will hear what I'm saying are people who long ago or sometime in the past have made up your mind. You've already chosen. You recognize your need for God. You recognize that Christ died for your sins. You recognize you needed His forgiveness. And you decided. You chose. You made up your mind. Now let me tell you about you folks. You folks are, in the vernacular of the Scripture, saved people. You've moved from darkness to light. Your life is moving not away from God, but toward God. Eternity for you is a glorious certainty, not an uncertainty. You're saved people. But there's a second category of people here. And they're the ones who've never really made a choice. Now, you've been around others who've made the choice, and you've played with the decision yourself, but you've never really made the choice. You might have gotten baptized and you may have joined a church, but in essence, you've never really made up your mind about God. Are you going to live for Him or not? You've never chosen. Now, I want to tell you that what I'm about to say, I do not feel comfortable saying. I wish I could tell you that if you've never made the choice, that's okay because God's grace will cover it. But if I told you that, I'd not be preaching in accordance to the Scripture. No, the truth according to the Scripture is this. If you've never made the choice, you are, in the vernacular of the Scripture, lost. You haven't moved from darkness to light. You're in darkness and don't even know light exists. you're not moving toward God, you're moving away from God, and eternity isn't a certainty, but it's an uncertainty. Now, for that category of people, there's a choice that needs to be made. And the issue here is that Joshua says it needs to be made immediately. In all the Bible, every time God speaks in terms of making decisions for Him, there's always an urgency and immediacy to it. He says, now make up your mind today. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, today if you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. The Bible says today is the acceptable time. Now is the time of salvation. This is the day the Lord hath made. There's always an urgency. Now let me ask you this question. Why do you suppose God is so urgent with this? Why the immediacy? Two reasons. Reason number one, simply because of the brevity of time. Time flies. You guys figure that one out? Do y'all know how fast your life is passing? In the book of Psalms, the Bible says in Psalm 90, your life is like a dream. Let me give you a paraphrase of that. If you're a person who ever has a lot of dreams, or you have a lot of dreams, have you ever noticed how dreams seem like they last a long time? They seem like they last all night long. Especially those dreams where someone's chasing you. It seems like they're a long dream. I have a recurring long dream. It's about a deacon's meeting, but that's another story altogether. You know, the scientists tell us, though, that dreams only last a matter of seconds for the most part. And what seems to go on for an eternity at the most is just a couple of minutes. That's what your life is. Seems like a long time while you're in it, and all of a sudden it's over. It's like a dream. But let me give you another reason. God always stresses urgency and immediacy, not just because of the brevity of time, but because of the frailty of life. You don't know how much of it you have left. The Bible says there's but a step between you and eternity. I have been reminded of that in the last couple of days. 3 o'clock Saturday morning, my phone rang. The voice on the other end of the line was a lady who's not a member of our church. She was calling on behalf of a family who are members of our church from the hospital. She said, Reverend Lockman, could you possibly come to the hospital right now? There'd been a death in his family. I got up and I got dressed and I went to the hospital. And I sat there and I talked with a family whose wife and mother had just passed. Now, most of you will not be familiar with this lady because she's new to our church. But about 3 o'clock Saturday morning, Brenda Kofer died. Let me tell you about Brenda Kofer. Brenda was 46 years old. 46. She was in good health. She broke her leg about a month ago and had it in a cast and did some things. And evidently sometime, and they're not sure exactly how this happened, but evidently sometime late Friday night, a blood clot or something broke loose and went to her heart. Brenda was 46 years old. The day before she died, she was talking to her husband Robert about how well they were doing. They were making plans. She has a daughter who's expecting a child in about a month. And at the age of 46, just like that, she's gone. That's bad news. Let me give you some good news, though. Brenda had made up her mind. She made her choice. I don't know initially when Brenda made her choice. But I know at least this much. She at least repeated that choice less than a year ago, standing right here in front of this table, in front of this congregation. And I am so glad she did. And it's for that reason that Joshua says, make up your mind this day. You put it all together, no matter how you slice it up again, it's a choice you've got to make. As for me and as my house goes, we're going to serve the Lord. you choose. Who will you serve? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for a powerful word, a great choice. And I want to thank you that you're the kind of God that would even offer us a choice. The very fact that we can choose is an indication of your grace. The very fact that you've said, I'll let you decide for me, indicates how much you love us. Because you know so well how unworthy we are, how unable we are, and yet you've given us the opportunity to be part of your kingdom. Father, there are those who are here today who've made their choice. Maybe they need to repeat it privately where they are. They need to renew that choice, and they need to say, Father, once again, I come to you. I recommit my life. I want the fervor and the fire again. And there are some who've never made their mind up. They've never chosen. I pray, Lord, that they'll make that choice. Make it carefully. Think about it. Count the cost. Not an emotional decision, but a very thoughtful, careful choice. But Father, give them the courage to do so. Would you speak to our church today? Help us to know that as a church, we also have to take a stand. There comes a time in every church where they have to say, we're on God's side. We're going to do it God's way. In these moments, help us to solidify that choice. And this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.